Hello, welcome to Butts to Nuts, a movie review podcast hosted by me, Ben Charlesworth, and my brother, Adam Jones.
After a year and a half.
Adam is fucking on the podcast.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, we just have to say
that, one coming,
that this Fuck has no. been a fucking long time coming.
Yes.
It has been.
This has been in the
I
works.
I remember when I first asked Scott about coming on the pod. This would have been.
It was millennia ago.
It was.
Back when the ancient pyramids were still being built.
Well, Scott that had hair correct. On his balls.
Yeah, I that did have hair. Back when I had hair on my balls, it before, all fell actually. Out.
I said before. But
before you fuck, you've idiot. Lost
well,
it.
Well, I actually had it. I actually had it, and then I lost it, and then I've got it again.
Nigel plucked it himself.
That's a deep cut. That yeah. is a deep cut. That
that's,
is a deep cut.
That's for Patreon users.
You pay to see. You do. Oh. Well... I feel like you introduce Adam.
Okay.
You know him better than me.
Adzi, he's the man himself.
No, introduce him properly.
Okay. All right. We have a very special guest on the Butts to Nuts podcast today. Wow. A pop culture extraordinaire, enthusiast, even an expert, I would even say. A master of wow. excavations, siege extraordinaire as well. And a soccer champion, Mr. Adam Jones.
Oi. Thank you very much for having me, boys.
Give him a round of applause.
I'm an all-round good guy.
I feel fucking pumped to be on this podcast. Oh, I can tell yeah. you that much for free.
It's so good. And wearing a fantastic shirt.
Sponsored by Tui's today. And also...
Oh, yeah.
Oak chocolate milk.
Delicious.
Now, I do want to say, as Scott's running around like a fucking idiot trying to get his oak chocolate
what
milk...
a fucking loser.
Right. As you can see, oak chocolate milk... We're actually being sponsored today. So
yeah,
they
we are.
Sponsor totally. The Penrith Panthers, who are obviously three-peat premier champions.
Oh, yeah.
And they thought they'd take a punt on us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
cheers to Oak.
Yeah, no, cheers to that. Three cheers, peats. Lads. And you know Go what? On. They did beat the Eels last night, which is very...
Yeah, so they're doing good.
Yeah. two-point two win. Points.
Get it past the label.
Oh, yum. Yum, yum, yum.
Oh, that could have gone on in one sip. Scott's going. Scott's gone in one sip. I can't do that, but... I want to enjoy my oak.
I want to have that just tickling at the back of my throat.
I have a serious problem.
I think you do. I'm just glad I didn't spill any on my white shirt.
We all have addictions. Scott's addicted to milk. I'm addicted to meth.
You're and addicted I'm addicted to dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Dirt and moving sandstone around.
Fuck yeah.
And also, Batman.
Yeah, man.
That is the movie that we watched today. Batman Begins came out in 2005, which we were all saying before we started watching the movie as well, how fucking long ago that is and how ridiculous.
Years. 19 years.
That's insane.
Fuck. Well, let's all try and remember where we were 19 years ago. My God.
Well, I was 4.
I was in the womb.
Craig would have been 1 year old.
Yeah, he would have been. Yeah.
It's and true. Nigel, I guess, was still kicking. Another deep cut.
Not anymore. Patreon users for more. We're really sourcing out the Patreon today.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
Deep cut central in here.
Oh.
Well, do you, oh, fucking what?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
No, Christ.
We do read out a synopsis.
Before we do the synopsis, though, Adam, I want to pose a question over to you.
Okay.
What made you want to decide... to pick this movie for today?
Well, I'm going to be bold here, and I could be very, very bold.
Brave
I think
the bold?
This is the best movie to start a trilogy of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Look, there's obviously... Look, it was in 2005. There's been a lot of trilogies post and pre.
This is right.
Obviously, you'd think in your 2000s, you'd think Sam Raimi's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Well, kind of that's post. You'd think Transformers is one. You'd think, like, kind of us growing up.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, I guess that was
Lord of the Rings is another big one.
Massive, massive but blockbusters.
This, for me, this is what kickstarts the DC versus Marvel.
Yeah, definitely does.
That became blockbusters. Like, this was the blockbuster of blockbusters.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I think before we do like get into the synopsis and everything, this set the dark tone for DC that almost kind of to its detriment in some ways for later movies. But in this sense with Christopher Nolan, it just kickstarted a different vibe to superheroes that people hadn't seen on the screen before.
I think they actually did it too well that nothing else could compete with it.
Oh, big moves.
Yeah.
Big moves.
Well,
yeah.
That's true. The only thing that would keep up with it,
yeah,
that is close to it, is probably when Superman got rebooted again.
Yeah.
In 2013,
I think. Yeah.
2012.
Yeah.
Around that time.
It is it's a gritty retelling of Batman, and I think people were ready for it after we had the
goofy 90s ones.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the Batman movies.
But even Raimi Spider-Man, fantastic, but there is an element of theatrical goofiness to
them
as well.
It's still in the 90s. It's still caught in
like in early 2000s as well. Like even the X-Men movies as well, they have that kind of bit of a cheesiness. This was just jump in, fucking serious. We're not pulling any punches here.
No, bitches are getting drugged. Like, shit's getting real, man.
It's getting fucked. All right, I'll lay some synopsis on you.
All right.
Now, this was a Wikipedia synopsis, so...
Oh,
get ready. Don't get me too hard.
Yeah.
In Gotham, after falling down a well and getting swarmed by bats, a young Bruce Wayne develops a fear of them.
Fuck.
What?
That's it.
That's Wikipedia for you.
End of the podcast.
That's it. We're finished. We're done here.
There's got to be more than that.
There was more than that, but I didn't have enough time to write the rest down. So the rest is up to your interpretation.
We're actually just doing half of the synopsis today.
Yeah.
Just making the rest of it up.
And we're only talking about the first half of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
Fuck the rest of it.
Well, I know. It's a two-parter.
It's
so
a two-parter.
We'll get you back in next year to do the second half of the film.
Sounds good.
This podcast is all about mystery. So it's actually leaving your mind open to new things.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to give you 10 seconds to guess what's going to happen for the rest of the podcast. And then we're going to continue.
All right, should we talk about our first point?
God, no.
Fuck off.
I mean, if we're talking about him falling down a well, how did he
not... Okay, that's... Look, this is a great movie, but I'm sorry. I'm guessing he's, what, 5-6 years old?
Yeah.
He's
a young
point,
boy.
Okay, this is the start of the movie. So this
shit
is when
haircut, by
I would way. Say yeah. I would say 10. I think he's about 10 years old there.
He looks a little... Okay, anyway,
maybe
that's not
nine.
The point. That's not the point.
Yeah, true.
We're at the start of the movie. He's playing hide and seek with his friend, whatever
Mrs.
the fuck it is.
Rachel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Rachel. That was with Rachel.
They're playing hide and seek, and anyway, I think she goes and hides, and he's trying to find her. Oh, no, he's hiding. She's finding him.
Yes,
because
that's
he's
right.
Hiding
yeah.
behind the well, then he walks on it.
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, for the listeners who are, you know, not watching.
Yeah, yeah. Watch
anyway,
us.
Anyway, he pretty much is hiding behind the well, and then she kind of finds him, and then he walks up to like go back out to obviously they swap places.
Of course, yeah.
And then he stands on some old rotted timber and falls like 30 fucking meters, and he's completely fine. Like, how does that work?
And then his dad just picks him up. He's like, all right, we better go to the hospital and check for an x-ray. Next, like, scene, he's just walking around.
No, that doesn't happen.
Completely perfect.
He's fine.
Really, he should be scared of wells, not bats, though, when you're thinking
yeah,
about it.
Good
like,
point.
Like, he should be well, man.
Empty wells.
Yeah.
That's
well,
man.
He runs around throwing water at people instead.
When Ra's al Ghul throws, gives him the little flower to drink, he should just be like, holy fuck, he's turned into a well.
That's I can't fall.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, that's a very good point. There is a lot of, like, logic with the... I mean, you could, like, do the same thing with Batman flying in the sky with
that
his...
That is true.
But, like, I think it's the super aspect of it where it's like, you can kind of brush it under the rug a little bit.
Yeah.
But at the same time, stupid kid fell down a well. You
yeah,
dumb
no,
fuck.
It's not him falling down the well. It's that he's... Perfectly fine. Like,
he's perfectly fine.
Okay, so if you pushed a 9-year-old off a fucking 20-meter cliff, you're not telling me they're not going to snap a
they're
leg.
They're spongy,
or something.
Though.
You can
speak. Their bones aren't grown.
They're dense.
They got rubbery arms.
How do you guys rate the parents getting shot? Because you know they do it in like every,
loved it, man.
Every film.
I like the
you love it.
Fuck.
Oh man,
grim,
I loved
fuck.
It. It's so good.
I mean, I like how Nolan related it. Sorry, to the actual fear of bats. It's not just. Like, in everyone, his parents get shot, but it's stupid because you know it's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
This one, he forces his parents to take him out of the play because he's getting scared.
That bit I liked because
I like it
he
too.
Has the guilt then.
Yes.
He does,
and he's like, fuck, vengeance.
Not where every other time it's just, someone shot my parents and I need to fuck them up.
And then we're just going to train for 18 years and then boom, we're ready for being Batman. Like, it's a really good progression, the
it
whole
start. It's well-paced.
I would like to know, I mean, like, obviously he just probably just kind of mulled in his room for like a couple of years. Yeah. And he's just like, fuck, I'm so depressed. And he's like, nah, fuck this.
But I guess, you know, sad fapping. When you're in a, but when you're in a movie like Batman, no one wants to see that shit. They want to see, obviously, the parents dying, and then they want to see him become who he's supposed to
become. It's all about iconic moments.
It is.
Yes, exactly.
That's, same with Superman. Same with any of those great, you know, superheroes.
Yeah, you kind of do a bit of a time jump through the adolescent period.
But I like how they went forward and then they went back.
Yes, that was good.
Not just go forward the whole time, because you get to see both sides of the story then.
Christopher Nolan's very good at this. Memento is a good example of him going forwards and backs constantly. It's a bit of a mind fuck though. Like, this is like reeling it in a little bit. Well, but it's good. It's good to do that because it gives the audience little seeds of interest.
Yeah.
And a bit of context. It
keeps you
there
on your toes, because something's always going to happen.
If they just opened with the parents getting shot, you'd be like, oh, it's just like every other one.
Yeah.
And the same thing is, you always keep interested with going forward and back.
Yeah.
You think something's going to happen, so you need to be involved. You need to be alert to what's happening, because you think something important's going to happen, and you're going to miss it.
Exactly.
And then you're like, fuck.
Yeah, and the start...
I fucking missed it.
The start felt... Like, the first 40 minutes felt very individual compared to the rest of the movie. And I like that. Like, where he's training with all Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows.
Well, yeah.
It's fucking... What's his name?
Naam Lee-sung.
It's not Ra's al Ghul, yeah. It's disguised as...
Yeah.
Dukat.
Yeah.
Naam Lee-sung.
What did you guys think about him getting trained by... Like the and the League of Shadows, instead of him training himself, like
I'm pretty sure he does get trained by the League of Shadows.
He always does.
Well, it depends on the iteration though. Yeah. The older version of Batman is just him training himself, but I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on it.
If you think about the Batman, that's what he does.
That's right. Yeah.
Perfect example.
He's part of the shadows. Yeah.
Yeah.
But training with them too. Yeah.
It shows the other side, which doesn't get shown much.
Yeah. His son, who is now the latest Robin in the comics, Damian Wayne, also is the son of him and Talia al Ghul.
Which is the one I wish they did. I wish they, not explored, but I wish they gave
a role
to Talia. Like, you see her.
Yeah. Part
of that story.
That would be cool. Yeah. Because,
I'm sure they thought about it or didn't just brush over it, but that's a big part of Batman.
Imagine if there was like a jealousy thing between Talia and Rachel. And it worked that in the story.
And
it's
bitch fight it at the end.
Oh, that'd be great.
That's the ultimate finale.
Would have been hot.
Spoiler alert, instead of Ra's al Ghul dying on a train, it's just them two scrapping. Yeah. Ra's and him are just watching.
That's right.
15 minutes, just them eating popcorn, just watching. Just putting bets on little cheeky multis. I'd love to see that.
I actually noticed something there, Adam, when you were talking about Ra's al Ghul instead of Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, true.
Which I agree with. His pronunciation should be Ra's al Ghul, because that's how it was in the animated series.
Yeah, well, that's where I got it from.
Games. Mm. Yeah, that's it.
It's always been Ra's, not Ra's.
Yeah, that's right. But then I remember like getting in this argument with someone, a close family friend, saying, no.
We're putting multis on.
Fuck you.
Guess what it was.
If you say Ra's six times, you get your money back.
But just saying, like, you know, no, it's Ra's al Ghul. And they're like, no, no, it's Ra's. It's like they say it in the movie. And I'm just like, Nolan, you fucked it there, bro.
Who was it? We're saying we'll beep it out. Go. Who was it?
It was Macca.
Oh.
We're not bleeping that out, by the way. That's staying in.
That's in. Yeah, it was.
So it was Macca.
Yeah.
It was Macca. It was Macca. Anyway.
Do you want to say it anymore? Say one more time.
Well, just so we
can. In unison, one more time.
Three, two, one.
Macca.
All right. You fucked it. You said it was.
Man, that editing is going to be so bad.
No, you're not going to edit it out. What were you going to say?
I'll just leave
Like I was telling the boys before, after the 1995, as we were saying, I think it was Clooney was the last one, before Christian.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
The studio wanted to...
Oh, a bit of trivia. We like this.
Darren Aronofsky in, who was...
Yeah,
they wanted to get him in to film it.
Interesting.
And he was doing some other project at the time.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it. So I was saying to Ben and Scott before, this movie is somehow filled up with backups.
Yeah, the whole lot.
So Christopher Nolan was never supposed to be the director.
No.
Really?
Christian Bale was never supposed to be the lead.
Wow.
Heath Ledger was trialing for the lead. At one point.
What?
I didn't know this.
And then...
Did not know this.
Christian and him came to an agreement that it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
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 And Christian said to him, look, we want to work with you in the future. You're extremely talented. Obviously, spoiler alert, next movie, he's...
Joker. He's Bane, of course.
Shut up, you cunt. So,
Wow, that's some good bit of trivia right there. Well, are you going to compete with that, Ben?
Oh, fuck no.
Darren was supposed to direct, and Clint Eastwood, who would have been 75 at the time of making that movie, was supposed to play Batman.
What? What?
I'm not joking. Clint Eastwood, who is going to be 75.
Feeling lucky,
what
punk?
About the scene where he's on fire and he jumps out the window? If that was Clint Eastwood falling on the car, he'd snap in half.
He'd just crumble like a bundle of sticks.
I suppose they probably did it because big name, moneymaker.
It just makes no sense that Clint Eastwood the fear gas.
No, it doesn't. But.
Yeah, that's insanity.
Yeah.
Wow.
When he gets the fear gas, you just see high interest rates. Just like, oh, it's bringing me back.
It's too much.
Numb flashbacks. Oh, God.
Also, another bit of quick trivia for you. So when they got all the writers together and stuff, it was Nolan. They got... David Goyer, who is most known for Blade.
Oh, yeah.
They got him as the co-writer in.
Cool.
They wrote it in Nolan's garage, the whole script.
You're kidding.
In 8 weeks, and he was so paranoid about a plot leak, he invited the Warner Bros. Executive directors to read it in his garage.
Garage party,
To this day, Christopher Nolan does not use phones or emails to email scripts. You come to him and you read it.
Oh, that is great. He's like the real-life Falcone. Like, you come to his little joint and it's everyone's smoking their cigars, but writing scripts.
He's so paranoid about it. So that shows you the level of debt. Like, because you think about... How many superhero movies have been leaked something, done something?
All the time.
Most recently, Nolan's movies. We won't talk too much about it because you haven't seen the movie yet, but Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah, it got leaked.
Leak Central. Yeah. I'm sure you've seen some leaks stuff, haven't you?
So when you think about Nolan movies, zero.
Yeah.
There's been no leaks.
No. He keeps it under
wraps.
That's
true, yeah.
Wow.
That's why, because he's paranoid.
You reckon they're hotboxing in that garage or what?
Oh, totally. They're getting cooked. They're getting absolutely marinated in there going, fuck, I reckon Batman should swing off this building and...
A bit of Scarecrow's fear gas.
They put the fucking Hessian sack over their heads and go, oh, man.
Well, should we talk about the villains? Because there was a few that appeared.
We'll rattle off some villains.
Yeah, rattle them off, Mr. No Notes.
So we had Carmine.
By the way, Scott's doing no notes again.
Yeah. No notes. We're just absolutely raw dogging it.
Well, fuck you.
Carmine Falcone, Victor Zsasz. I love Victor Zsasz, by the way.
Yeah, he was good.
Scarecrow and obviously Ra's al Ghul.
Yes.
That is like a very
missing one.
It's very unique.
Mm. And ballsy to start off like that.
Yeah, with a more niche villain for sure.
Yeah.
You're missing one though. What was his name?
Mr. Earl.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Mr. Earl.
Everyone's going to be like, who the fuck is that?
Well, we can tell him.
Yeah.
Stole the business, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
From when Bruce's parents died, he pretty much, not guarded, but guided the Empire.
Yeah.
Till he was ready, which I don't know what age it would be in America that you're allowed to take over your family.
Would it
be 21?
Yeah. I'd presume so. That's when they're...
Yeah, anyway, he guided it up till he didn't ever take it when he was 20.
He was training
and shit, so...
Yeah, presumed dead.
He was dead for 7 years.
I forgot that bit that everyone just thought that Bruce was dead whilst he was like...
That's fucking wild, eh? Yeah. Imagine going like, for instance, you're in the military and you're gone for... Like you're in, you know, you're doing...
So he was 23 when he left because he was gone for 7 years and then he came back on his 30th birthday?
No, he would have been 29.
Yeah.
Because he was there for a period of time before.
Oh, that's right.
So he would have been like 29.
22.
When he first left.
So like 6-7 years still.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's still a long time, but
it's a huge.
And just everyone thinks you're dead.
Yeah.
No one really cared much either. Like when they saw him again,
they're just like,
same with your butler. When you get on the plane, we presumed you were dead.
Yeah.
Life is like a tangerine. Hello, Michael Caine. Michael Caine.
Do we want to talk about the cast? Because this cast is star-studded.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do it.
Please.
Well, obviously, our boy and. It earns a nug for
it
him
does.
Just being in the movie, Morgan Freemos.
What a guy.
Oh, yes.
You know, his part was supposed to be played by Lawrence Fishburne.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I had in mind. But well, when David Goyer wrote the part, he wrote it for Morgan Freeman. So he said, you need to get Morgan Freeman.
A couple of years after Matrix, I guess Fishburne was coming off the hype of the Matrix. True. You know, and he's like, oh, yeah, boom.
Yeah, but Morgan's Morgan, man.
Morgan's
he's got the voice.
Yeah, man.
It's a calming voice, and that's what you need when you're getting up to scientific
especially when it's a narrating part.
Yes.
Yes.
As
yeah.
big as his was, like a lot of talking, a lot of like dialogue in between.
Exactly, that was his Yeah.
main role for
sure. Yeah, that's his go-to.
Well, then we go to Michael Caine as well.
I mean,
he's just two powerhouses basically lifting Bruce up. It's so good.
Yeah. And then you have the support cast really of Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
Oh, can I say best Jim Gordon ever?
He is.
Like
he's fantastic.
He's amazing.
There is not another Jim Gordon portrayed in media, I'm telling you, in fucking media, that is better than Gary Oldman.
I agree.
Yeah. We had Katie Holmes playing Rachel.
Rachel!
She was really good.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
Thomas Shelby was in there.
Killian Murphy, Oppenheimer.
He was also tried to get played as Batman.
Yeah, he did. I do know that piece of... six people.
It was the studio wanted to cast an Austin Kutcher at the time.
Really?
That was their first choice.
Interesting.
But the Nolan didn't want him because he did a lot of comedy shit at the time.
Yeah, rom-coms. That was his
genre back then.
He's coming off the back of that 70s show in the 90s as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had...
I guess it's like five.
They had Killian Murphy. They had... Killian Murphy. Who was that?
Well, so Heath Ledger, obviously.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, Jake would have been cool.
Henry Cavill.
Wait, Henry Cavill back then?
Yeah, Bat Cavill.
A guy named Joshua Jackson.
Wow.
Someone we don't know.
Joshua Jackson.
He had some big roles back then.
Well, if you have two first names, you're not cutting it in the business.
No.
You're out, mate.
And the way they decided, so that the last two were Killian Murphy and Christian Bale, obviously.
Yeah.
The way they decided was they put on George Clooney's suit.
What, the nipple suit?
Yeah, and played out a part.
They played out their nipples.
Played out a scene.
Yeah. What?
For the role.
We've never had
good trivia. This is crazy.
Well, here you go, boys. We've stepped it up a level.
We need you on the podcast more often. This is fucking crazy. Brilliant.
So that's how they did it. And they,
you're blowing our minds right now. Did you realize that?
They thought that, obviously, Christian looked better in the suit. So, yeah. Obviously, they didn't design the suit yet because, hello, it's fucking like 19... Yeah. Or no, it was 2003 then.
Christian Bale, more like Christian Built, am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what a fucking rock.
We're going to talk about his physique in a minute.
Yeah. Him getting out of bed and straight going into push-ups. We'll talk about that.
Speaking of his physique, I mean, this has been thrown around as knowledge for a little while, but obviously he did American Psycho.
He did.
Then did The Machinist and got anorexic. And
then went back to Batman.
How many weeks was it until he got into his bulk physique? Do you know?
I wouldn't know, but I know for The Machinist, he was around 40, 50 kilos. And for Batman, they wanted him to bulk up to 86.
Yeah.
And then in the next one, he bulked up to 90-something. 91.
Yeah. He did it in, like, ridiculous time as well.
Oh, yeah. He used to do it within, like, year spans or 6 months.
Yeah.
Christian Bale is such a method actor. It's, like, awesome.
Yeah. I can also do that, but I just choose not to.
Yeah.
Well, if I wanted
to, you've actually got a sleeper build underneath there. You know, you're actually fucking jacked.
I'd be like 120 if I wanted to.
Easy.
Yeah. Easy peasy, man.
And all rip, full muscle when I do it.
What do we think about Christian Bale as playing Batman in this, well, not a trilogy yet, but in this opening movie?
Love it. I absolutely love it. I think he, obviously there are parts to his performance where I go, I would change it.
Yeah.
That voice.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the voice.
We'll talk about the voice because it's good in some parts, but a lot of the time...
It's cheesy in others.
It's fucking cheesy. Yeah. We just have to put it out there.
Yeah, but like the good comes with the bad.
You're going to get...
You can't get it perfect. Well, I mean, the next movie, spoiler alert, it gets it perfect.
Yeah. Perfect.
But that's because of another performance.
Exactly right. It's like...
Gary Oldman.
I think... Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Oscar That's winner.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's actually, when you look at it as well, it's in terms of a movie about Batman, it's the perfect, like, between Batman and, you know, and Bruce Wayne, it's the perfect in between.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because if you think about the old Batmans or even the Batman that's just come out, 2022,
yeah.
Yeah.
It's so reliant on Batman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You don't see the other side, the Bruce Wayne side, where all the glitz and glamour and all the downfalls and the pitfalls that he's had.
That's right.
And had to overcome to be Batman.
Yeah.
You just see, oh, he's Batman
he's
now.
He's Batman. Yes.
Yeah, he just went through some shit. He's fine.
Yeah.
No. That's not how it works.
This goes into all of it. I think also the decision not to do that in that movie as well is because it was done so well in this movie.
And the next two are full on.
They go into Bruce Wayne so heavily.
They do.
And, you know, I think they get Bruce Wayne perfectly in this movie as well.
He plays Bruce to a T. Yeah. It's just...
I think he's the best Bruce Wayne, and I think he's the second best Batman.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. Who's the best Batman in your opinion?
Well, we can't tell because it's not a trilogy yet, but I think Robert Pattinson.
Yeah. He's pretty fucking good.
He was phenomenal. Like if you compare the first two movies, the Batman is close, but I think because of the nostalgia, the pure nostalgia fact... Like,
yeah.
You know, we've had it for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think Batman Begins wins it, but it's close.
Yeah.
And it's going to get closer as time goes on.
Of course.
Like, for instance, when you ask our generation or you say Batman, they think of the trilogy.
Yeah.
It's
not even close.
It's like every millennial and then most of Generation Z.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thinks of the trilogy, the main superhero movie staple that kind of kickstarted the popularity for it.
Exactly.
In a respectable way because the superhero genre was not taken seriously at all before this movie came along.
Yeah.
Like, this movie was like, boom. I would probably say, you know, they... respected it after the Raimi Spider-Mans as well, but this was like...
But they had a formula before, this feels vastly different.
Artsy. They changed the formula for this.
It's different, and it's Nolan putting his own spin on it.
It was. Before he wrote this and it came out, he said he wanted to make it as realistic as possible.
Which is
why you see hardly any CGI.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's all graphically done. It's all...
practical effects and things like that. Yeah.
Rather than CGI. How many times have you seen blockbusters where you look at the CGI and you go, you just fucking ruined it.
Yeah.
It's shit. Like, it's woeful.
Like a modern Marvel movie or something like that.
This is just... it's the simplicity of it just does it so well.
All right. Yeah. Let's... more on that. Shocking shots or fantastic shots
I'll give you a shocking one.
Yeah.
When Batman is flying over and the city is covered in the mist, like the Scarecrow. He's like not breathing out fire, but he's flying on top of them and the people are all...
Hallucinating. Yeah.
The angle of him like trying to breathe fire.
Shocking. That's shocking. That is a shocking shot. What about a shot where you guys were like, wow, Christopher Nolan has utilized his practical effects, his lighting, just the angles and everything, where you just go, wow, there's a piece of action right there.
Car chase.
Oh, undeniably one of the best, if not.
That car is like known for what it is. Like the Batmobiles after are modeled on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Another bit of trivia for you. They did that in Chicago, like the car bit.
Yeah.
I thought it was shot in Chicago for a little bit of it. Yeah.
Mm.
Some drunk driver hit that Batmobile and thought it was an alien invasion. While they were filming it.
Oh, that is...
And there was camera cars behind it and everything.
That's
the
best.
He thought fucking aliens were coming, so he hit the cunt.
What the fuck? I want to drink whatever he was
only around. Americans, eh?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, good on him, honestly. You know,
you just see Christopher just come out and give him a firm handshake.
It's like
you just saved him.
Well done. If we did have aliens, you're our guy.
You just saved America, son.
That is great. The design of the Batmobile looks so sexy, bro.
It's so brutal.
It's not goofy. It's just like, it's a tank.
It's a meat machine.
Oh. It is a meat machine. You know what's awesome is they got it so iconic, but it's such a new, fresh design because everything before it was just like hot rods and like muscle cars. Souped up muscle cars, which is fucking awesome.
It is.
But this is like, oh, it's something... an upper echelon.
You know what it is, Scott? It's like the movie. It keeps up with the times.
It does keep up with the times.
And that is a staple of this movie.
And that's what a billionaire would do in that situation. Yes. I feel like they wouldn't just go for a Corolla or something.
No.
Clearly not, Ben. Maybe they would to blend him.
The Batmobile, and it's just got a little Batman sticker on the bumper bar.
You know when they're in the scene and he's driving to the fancy party in that Lamborghini?
Yeah.
You know the type of car that is? It's a Lamborghini Murcielago.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
that's
so.
That's Spanish for bat.
Spanish for bat.
It is.
Wow.
That's why they use that car.
That's
we got to get you on every
this
week,
good.
Man.
This is too this is good. Great. This podcast
I'm
is already...
I'm dropping trivia left, right, and center, motherfuckers. Oh,
it's so cool.
You know what would be mad, though? Is like sinking a couple of bevs with the boys and going for a ride in the Batmobile.
Oh.
Imagine drunk driving that. God. That would be peak.
I mean, he basically was like he was drunk driving because
he
took out a fucking police car.
How about,
cars.
When he's testing it? He's like, what's that? He's like... Oh, the tumbler? Oh, you wouldn't like that. He's like, you see that button right here? That's the boost. And he just pushes it.
Yeah, that's the one that's testing it.
Oh, that's
here's
great.
A point about the Batmobile, though.
Please, please.
So there's a point where Rachel's with the Scarecrow, right? And he's like spying on her, just like being a little cuck in the corner watching her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Further to the end, right?
Yeah.
And right when Scarecrow like gasses her,
mm-hmm.
he knows that. He has the gas, right? Mm. That Batman knows. And he has the antidote at this point.
Yes.
You reckon you just keep the antidote in your car just in case?
Yeah.
Ruins the car chase scene. Yeah. Ruins the car chase scene. But...
Oh, it's a good point of logic, right?
I wouldn't want that to happen.
No.
Okay? So I'm saying something stupid, but...
No, but in reality...
He cares for Rachel, though. So you would think that that's what he would do.
You'd think he'd be like, oh, I feel like she might get gassed here. She's with a bad dude. Maybe I'll just keep one of the antidotes in my car.
Yeah,
just in case.
Well,
no one's getting in the car.
Even his utility belt.
Yeah, true.
No, you're not doing on the utility
belt.
Well, yeah,
because you're
if
flying
it gets
around and getting smashed.
There's two.
That's pretty...
Scott, he was literally fighting like 20 blokes.
Yeah.
I reckon he could keep it in his, like, in his...
No one's going, someone's
okay,
going for a nut
look,
shot.
Scott's being unrealistic. Ben and I, who are realistic and have a point on this.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
just saying that you could figure out a way, if you're a billionaire, you could put it in there and just be like, hey,
what,
there
wrap
you go.
It in fucking glad wrap and say, here you go.
Like you did last night's dinner.
Bubble wrap. Yeah, put
Don't
it in bubble
like
wrap.
That, brother.
Imagine that. Someone goes to kick him. No. Not that.
No. Hold on. Let me take this out first.
Stop.
Not the antidote.
Shut up.
Oh, no. Sorry, mate. Sorry. I won't kick you there. All right. Just aim for the head.
Yeah.
But not a point I agree with because we wouldn't have the car chase scene. Just something to bring up.
Just something to bring up.
Just the shits and giggles, mate.
Well, I respect that is that. True.
Yeah.
But yeah, he did know about it at that point.
Yeah.
The gas. Because he'd been gassed himself. And then he knew that Rachel was
Everyone's
trying to see
gassed.
Carbone.
He's yeah, like, everyone was getting gassed at that point.
You gassed us out at the end of the movie too.
Yeah,
you
oh,
dirty
yeah,
fuck.
Fuck,
man. Oh, just
right on
mate.
This chair that I'm sitting on now.
Yeah.
The listeners.
Now Adam probably is like soaking up your shit particles.
I'm dying here, listeners. Help me.
From blue to brown, that's all I say.
Blue to brown.
Now I'm going to be brown.
All right, I've got a special segment for both of you right now.
Ooh, okay.
And you guys are going to fucking love it. We're doing Gadget O'Clock here.
Fuck yeah!
Adam Jones, Master of Gadgets.
Shout out gadgets, man.
Oh, shout out.
Okay.
Fuck yeah.
Let's rattle gadgets. Off some gadgets.
Okay, the utility belt.
A classic? An absolute classic.
Yeah.
Would
Beautiful.
You count the Batmobile as a gadget? Because that's a fucking big gadget.
Yeah. I would say, it has sub gadgets in it as well.
Yeah. Sub folders of its gadgetry.
He had the grapple gun.
The grapple gun.
Which I think's his favourite gadget.
Would we call it the grapple gun or the bat claw?
Bat claw.
Depending on what the
No, the nerds are going to come at us. Call
yeah,
it.
It's the bat claw.
The bat
claw.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, batarangs.
Batarangs, yep. Which took on a different form in this. I mean, like, there was still the iconic but, like, you know,
How
they were
about
made himself.
The sonar for the bats on the bottom of your shirt.
That was
kind
That's
of very,
very
cool.
Good
gadget.
That was sick.
Very cool.
Trivia for you.
Oh yes.
The bats in that movie were so they obviously weren't controlled by his foot, but they had sonar technology that controlled the bats. And then you know the
I
bats
thought they were CGI.
No.
But wasn't there there would have been some CGI.
Yeah,
for the
there
bats.
Was some,
yeah.
but they had a whole flock of them.
Right.
And then you know the single ones
that
were like For instance, the one that was flying around in his...
Yeah.
Yeah, they purposely let that in there.
That's so cool.
And trapped it in there.
Wow.
And then controlled it, with sonar and stuff?
Yeah, they had sonar technology back then. So they used that to, like, obviously track them away and come into that... Oh, shit.
No,
come
don't worry
Come into
about
that
it.
Building.
Boot sonar.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is sick.
So when you, like, think it is sonar.
Yeah.
Like what he's using at that time, it is true.
That's insanity.
He's crazy, man.
Well, so that was a cool gadget.
That's probably the most creative one.
It is.
Yeah. And that scene was sick where he's like falling down and all the police are like, oh, God.
Yeah, he literally just fucking walks past like 40 of them.
Yeah.
Can we talk about his cape, though? That's a massive gadget.
That is a very good gadget. That's an iconic gadget in this movie or in this trilogy.
Yes. Mm. I mean, like the electromagnetic...
It's fueled.
Like the material just...
Molecules, that's the word. It's the electro...
Oh, we love some molecules.
Yeah. It's the electromagnetic molecules that band together to make shapes.
Yeah,
so in the movie, they obviously made like swags and shit with them because they were meant for soldiers.
Swags. Yeah.
But he obviously makes it to his own cape. And then what he does really cleverly is he attaches it to like, the gloves.
Yeah.
Mm. So when he fans out, it fans out the wing. When he closes it off.
It's too good.
So smart. He had those little explodey balls that he could throw. Yeah, when he broke out of Arkham, that was kind of sick.
Literally like
that
a fucking good hand grenade, but better.
Yeah.
Bat grenade or something like that. You just put bat in front of everything and that's pretty much it. The bat cape, the bat cowl. Yeah. The bat boots.
Well, he had like little bat mics so that he could like hear people.
Yeah. So, 1-2-1-2.
There is a gadget, I believe it is in the next movie, that is a game changer.
Oh, yes.
If you know what I'm thinking.
Is it that one?
And the sonar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there is one lame gadget, though.
What is it?
It's where he's, it's the bat phone where he's trying to ring Alfred.
Alfred!
He opens up his little Nokia and he's like, Alfred!
He should just have it on his wrist.
It's because it's indestructible. That's why he has it.
Oh, yeah, true.
No, you're putting some logic behind it. No one thought of everything.
Wow.
He's a fucking mastermind.
Should we get on to the second segment that I had planned? Oh. Should we just go 1-2?
Yeah.
Straight away?
Yabby pump, 1-2. Jab.
Okay, and welcome to Shoutouts with Adam Jones.
Featuring
on the Butts to Nuts podcast. Now, we're going to shout out some moments.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, shout out.
Shout out some moments, shout out some people.
Shout out some shout outs.
Shout out some shout outs. Shout out hand jobs, inside joke. You won't know that one.
Yeah, no, you won't get it.
I don't even know.
No.
It's too
deep. Will later.
You will. You will when you grow up.
You have to pay for that one.
Yeah. Patreon users, get on it.
You'll know when you go on a houseboat on the river.
Handjobs are handjobs, baby. Riley, Malcolm, if you're listening, you know.
Hi, Malcolm.
Hi, Riley and Malcolm. Tyson.
Shout out the boys.
Yeah, shout out all the boys. Anyway, we're not talking about the boys. We're talking about the movie.
Alfred. Yeah. Shout out Alfred.
For being such a G and always pulling through.
He's Bruce's new dad, isn't he?
Running.
When his dad, obviously his dad passes away, but like, you know, it's reiterated so many times in the movie that, you know, he's... You still never given up on me.
And running through a flaming building.
I'll never give up on you.
Yeah, literally.
It's like a tangerine.
What's all of them bloody push-ups for if you can't even lift a fucking log? Like, mate, that's a fucking beam. That's not a log. That's like probably 300 kilos. And one bloke just fucking lifted it.
That's the kind of guy you want to save your life.
Like, yeah. What are you fucking doing, you twit?
He clobbers that dude as well. Yeah. I hope you're not a part of the fire brigade.
Because you haven't done your job.
He's giving you critical emotional support. And that's what Alfred is there for. Always bringing...
Well, he's bringing the logic.
Yeah.
He's the
logic. Yeah. Mm. He's helping Bruce's back.
He's got that dog.
Emotionally.
He has
got
that
dog in him. Yeah, that British dog. He's the British bulldog. That's my Alfred.
It's good. Shout outs to, obviously, Morgan Freeman, but his character, Lucius Fox.
Yeah, Lucius Fox.
For, you know, there's a different part of, I can't even remember seeing Lucius in any Batman media. I'm sure he's in it somewhere, but like...
No, it's the next movie he's in.
Right, no, but like, as in comics and things like that. This was my first introduction to his character when I first watched it when I was a kid and stuff like that. And I think it was cool having someone else sort of take like the sciencey gadgety side and introducing Bruce to it.
Yeah.
So now he can take it on himself because you saw like he was introduced to all this technology.
I like how they did that part. And I like, you know, it's a staple of the superhero.
And
it's too genuinely overlooked.
Yeah, that's
that he
right.
just has all this shit.
And it all belongs to his family too, which is so cool.
The way I see it, Mr. Wayne, you already own this anyway.
I love that as well, that he didn't have to develop all of it. Like some people are like, oh, why isn't Bruce making it? But He does. He improves the stuff that Wayne's already built.
Exactly right.
And you literally see that in the movie.
It gives him kind of like the blueprints for it, right?
That is what I love about it. It shows every detail. You don't miss a detail.
No, you don't. No. Yeah.
He really goes to the depths of showing you what it's about.
He shows you. He shows you.
Thoroughly.
Do we have any more shout outs that you guys would love to bring to the table?
I can't because my missus will probably hear this next and listen. So, but fuck it, shout out Rachel!
Rachel! Yeah,
she was hot. She doesn't come back in the next movie. Spoiler, and they get a fucking little one to play on.
Yeah, they got a new Rachel. This is the best Rachel. Big shout out to Rachel.
Katie Holmes.
Yeah,
gave Bruce lots of great advice throughout the movie. What was the catchphrase? Not the catchphrase. The saying that she said.
It's not what you do.
It's something.
No, it's not what you do underneath, it's what you do that defines you or something like that.
Something like that, yeah, your actions do it.
It's like actions speak louder than words.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's along the same saying, same premise as that.
She also said the bad people get paid and the good people stay scared, and I was like, oof.
Ooh. Well, the thing I liked about Rachel's character is she actually showed Bruce what he's got. He was away for so long. He has no idea.
Yeah.
She goes to the depths to show him what is really going on. So he has to make him, like, you know, Ra's al Ghul says, if you make yourself more than just a man, an idea, you can become something else entirely, which is exactly what she does.
Yeah, she does.
She shows him that Gotham is in a bad place.
Yeah.
So you need to become something to the people that they can look up to, and then someone can fight this.
Yeah,
that is not a person. It's a symbol.
Yeah.
Wisdom with Adzi here.
That's exactly what this movie is about.
Yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what Batman is. He's a symbol. Yeah. He's
like Bruce says on the plane, if I can be a symbol, I'll be incorruptible. I can't be put in jail.
No, yeah. That's right. You know what's awesome as well is all these pillar characters.
Yeah.
They all create Batman.
And they obviously all intertwine perfectly. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Like, obviously, Bruce has his fear that he has to overcome, but you've got Ra's al Ghul giving him the skills, Alfred giving him the heart.
And the knowledge.
You know, you've got Lucius giving him the technology and ability to do these incredible things. And then Rachel, you know...
The morals.
The morals and reminding him what it is to be different from the rest. I love the whole thing with her was...
It was not about getting revenge.
No, it's the moral compass of just getting justice. True justice is about harmony, she said, not about revenge.
Which is what ends up happening in the end.
Yeah, that's it. So good. Oh, beautifully written.
Boys, favourite scene?
Favourite scene?
Oh, favourites. You know what? I really like the end fight against...
The Wayne train?
On the Wayne train.
That's a classic.
That is a hot scene, man.
You know, when he says, I don't have to kill you, but I don't have to save you either. And just flies off.
Oh, yeah. Like an absolute Chad.
And just like see him glide.
And then
out.
Fucking old mate thinks he's going to survive a fucking 100-foot train crash. Closes his eyes. Nah, you're not surviving that.
No way, man.
He thinks he's going to turn into a force ghost or something like that. Qui-Gon Jinn. Sorry, bud. You don't have your force powers yet.
Fuck, imagine the property damage. By the way,
actor we forgot to mention, Liam Neeson.
Oh, Neeson. One of the ghosts.
How
do we forget that? Probably because he's fucking so good.
He's disguised. He has a moustache. We didn't recognise him.
And he looks Mongolian.
He does look Mongolian. Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul or Ra's al Ghul, however you want to pronounce it, I think means head of the demon or something like that.
Really?
It's translated to demon head or head of the demon. Along those lines, which is pretty cool because he is literally the evil personification of Batman.
What about you, favourite scene?
I was going to ask Scott.
What about you, favourite scene?
My favourite scene.
I'll do my last.
Okay.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I really like the scene at the start when Bruce is in the prison and he gets like the mouldy cauliflower put on his plate. Yeah, that's a good scene right
then
there.
Then he fights in the mud.
He gets beat up like six blokes.
Yeah, that's right.
My favourite scene is probably him getting into the fountain with the ladies.
The ladies.
Like, he's pissed off his head and he's just like, yep, I'll go for a swim. I'll buy the hotel. Doesn't matter.
Didn't you say something about Batman as well? They're like, what do you think about Batman?
Oh, yeah, and he's like, a guy that dresses up.
That's ridiculous.
In a bat costume. He's clearly got some problems.
That's right. He's got some issues.
Yeah. He was channeling Patrick Bateman in that scene.
He was,
scene.
Yeah.
Oh, that was incredible.
I think he did it a couple of times.
Especially with Bruce, yes. He did it. I loved it how he basically told everyone that were friends with his father and stuff to fuck off out of his house.
Patrick Bateman moment.
Yeah, it was a Patrick Bateman moment. Sick. Shout out to that.
You guys sad that Wayne Manor burnt down? Or were you like,
I was a bit. Yeah. But then,
because he's going to build it back.
This is the thing I'm going to ask you, right? I was thinking about this last night. So when you say for instance, like bushfires, right? Common here in Australia for the overseas listeners.
Yes. Mm.
If your house burns down, you know how fucking hard it is to get the bricks back that were to your house? Like, you know how fucking hard that is?
That's
so when he says, obviously it could be different in England or, you know, wherever.
Oh, in Gotham.
Yeah.
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 Like, which is basically England.
Yeah, it was fucking like Buckingham Castle or something they filmed it. So England, shout out. But,
shout out.
Like, it's, I don't know if it's the same in England.
You're just
talking about
the logistics here. It's ridiculously hard.
I know he's a billionaire, so it probably won't matter because he'll find something.
He snaps his fingers and bricks just appear.
Yeah.
But Christopher Nolan actually burnt down Buckingham Palace.
Shout out. That's a bold move. All those earnings from the movie, they're like, fuck's sake, Christopher, we're going to have to build that back up now. We've just gone in net loss.
Rip Lizzie died twice.
This is an undercover experiment.
We'll drink to that.
People, we're here for you. We're actually under... This is a bigger plot than you think.
It's a conspiracy podcast now.
You know what I loved about this movie, though, is how it went into the lore of the League of Shadows a little bit as well.
Yeah.
And talked about how they're a generational thing. They took Rome down. They burnt London down. It's like their fate.
Yeah. They are the people that restore the balance.
Mm. That's right.
I think it's a bit.
Are you against them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of makes it like that. Because cool. You're like. No, but he's right. It's like Thanos. Like, restore balance to what is necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, too many mouths to go around.
League of Shadows did 9/11. Yeah.
Like, people are getting too high, people are getting too low. The gap's too big.
Yeah.
You've got to quantify that somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing the worst thing. Scott just said they did 9/11, but...
Righto, Scott. Each to their own.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm just rattling off.
We're going to fly this plane straight into a building.
Liam, they hit the second tower.
Liam, come help. I cannot help you on this quest.
Yeah.
Favorite scene.
Okay. This is a bit underrated, but it's... So when he defeats... The first time when he shows himself as Batman, obviously in the container lot, if you haven't watched the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
It's when he's on top of the building. So the scene after, he's almost announcing himself as Batman to the city.
Yes.
As I am your protector now.
Yeah.
Because he's just put Falcon... Like, he's showing the people that I'm in business.
Oh, that's so cool as well. Like the swing shot of him just like looking over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my favorite shot.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's a big shout out right there.
As a first watch as well, you'd think that it would be focused on Falcone. And then I love it how they bring back like Ra's al Ghul in the end as well. And it weaves in. It's like the fear gas. Like, where the fuck's this all leading to? And it's like, Scarecrow's actually working for the League of Shadows, but like just...
It's all linked. It's all linked.
The way that you find out each step...
You're like, oh, fuck.
And then when it gets to the end where it's like, oh, we're going to destroy the city, which they foreshadowed at the start of we want to destroy Gotham. But you sort of forget about that.
Yeah, because you're so focused in the now.
Yeah, and then they bring it all back. It's like, whoa, man.
It's such a nice little turn in the plot. And I think hats off to Nolan for expanding the villain roster so massively, but doing it so linear and great feeling the whole way. It didn't feel like it was just... put into for fan service.
No.
Everything served a purpose for the plot.
Well, that is Christopher Nolan, isn't it?
That is him. But, you know, the great thing is by the end of this trilogy, you have this real nice, juicy villain roster that you can go, wow, this, and this, all these characters are in it.
And they were all served correctly.
That's
right. To the purpose.
To the purpose of...
there's no shortcuts. There's no...
That's right. No. I feel like the length... is good as well in this movie.
Yeah, it's perfect. All right, what's your earliest memory of watching this movie? You have to ask because it's an oldie.
I was at my cousin's, I would have been...
Deep lore here.
I would have been 10, 11. Yeah. And I remember Dad being there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't fucking interested. He was Tony's probably like, drinking beer or something. Man. And we watched... It was over Christmas time. I remember that.
Yeah.
It wasn't when it first came out. It was a couple... No, it would have been. I think it was maybe... Yeah, it would have been a long time after, actually. Because 2005, I was 4.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So
yeah.
It would have been like maybe 6 years after.
Yeah,
it was only 10, 11.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when I first remembered it.
Yes.
I think we would have been about... You were way younger when you first... You would have been like 6 or something.
It was 1967. It was a winter's day.
We actually watched Batman Begins for the first time in Glenorie. If you remember correctly.
I don't, no.
You don't remember that?
Well, there you go. Bit of trivia for you, Ben.
That's where we watched it.
I remember he's doing it now as well. Yeah.
That's a bit of...
Trivia either sides. Ben's got a segment coming up.
Yeah, all angles, mate.
Ben, trivia for you, everybody there. Bit of deep Charlesworth lore.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, I think we've covered this movie pretty well. And it's just, you know, going into it, as soon as you see the bats fly across the screen and like the massive bat created with bats, you know you're in for a treat.
Do you think that Ra's al Ghul is a memorable villain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
I agree.
I think it's because he's continually a part of the story.
Yeah.
I also feel that they couldn't have done him in any other movie. He needed to be the first one because he would have been overshadowed by a Joker or a Bane as the first villain.
Yeah, I agree. That's right. If they did him in like the third movie, the only way that they could have done it was introducing Talia and introducing a Ra's al Ghul plot
point. But that's a fuck fest because it's the third film, so you want it to end off nicely.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
It does.
Theoretically. Yeah. theoretically,
but I get what you mean.
If you didn't have Bane or Catwoman in that...
You'd have to get the whole entourage in.
Yeah, you'd have to get the whole entourage, but you would have to have Talia in it to make it work, and you'd have to have the Lazarus Pit thing.
Yes.
Where that's a big motivation for Ra's al Ghul in the comics, is...
Even in the games.
He's immortal. He dies, hops in the pit, fucking comes out
even,
of youth.
Even in the games, it's the same.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a question. It's never...
I think he's a good step... Like stepping... Not stepping stone villain. That sounds bad. But like...
No, I get what you mean. A build-up villain. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah.
His villain character creates a lot of hype.
Yeah.
And especially with the little Easter egg of the Joker card at the end of the movie.
That's perfect.
Yeah, it's great.
You know what you're going
to
get.
Exactly right.
Didn't have time to thank you.
You never have to.
Before we end, one last funny thing where he's getting trained by... Are we saying Ra's al or Ra's al? It's a bit
Ra's. 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 We're saying Ra's. Even though it says Ra's in the movie, it's Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al...
Just change his name.
Racist Ghul.
Racist Ghul. He's at the end of the training trying to get Bruce to chop that farmer's head off.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And then Bruce is like, no, I'm not going to kill him. And then obviously tries to escape, but in doing that just kills like probably an extra 15.
I literally said in that scene, I'm like, this is Jack Sparrow literally fighting fucking everyone. There's just shit going on everywhere. Yeah. But it's the most Jack Sparrow thing ever.
It is. It literally is. You know, like you could almost dub the music over the top of it and it would just fit perfectly. But yeah, so he actually goes against his moral code there and blows everybody up.
Yes.
Yeah.
But do you want to have a guess what the budget was for this movie?
Oh, that's good.
I'm going to say 100.
You got to think. You got to think because it's 2005.
Yeah.
So you got to think of the times.
80 million. 80 million.
Okay, Scott. come on, get your voice in check.
I would say... 95 million.
No.
Okay,
150.
That was my second guess. That's my second guess.
But Nolan only used 100 of it.
Oh, what's your guess for the budget?
100.
Oh, fuck, he's good.
Never get anything wrong.
There we go.
Do you have any final trivias before we get into some trivias? You said Iceland before.
You did say Iceland.
So the first scene, listeners and viewers.
Oh.
The first whole scene, it's like 40 minutes long, 30 minutes long.
Yeah.
Is in Iceland. And they made that whole League of Shadows building.
Cool.
They built that.
That is sick. Did they actually blow it up as well?
Yeah.
And they built it in the shadows. They weren't allowed to build it in the
daylight. No, not in the day. No. In the shadows. Yeah. Literally. I'm just trying to think if I have. He has. Obviously, yeah. We're forgetting as well Hans Zimmer with the music.
Yeah, Zimmer. Oh, shit. Yes, of course. The bat. Oh, that's what I was going to ask you guys. How do you rate this Batman theme?
It's pretty awesome.
It is very funny. Awesome. It's very distinctive.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because I have like recent Batman fever where I'm like, oh, I love that one, but this has got to be one of the best.
Yeah. It has. All right. My favorite Batman score of all time, though, is from the Arkham games.
Oh.
It's that. Just sitting in the menu and just having the ho-ho. Just like, oh, yeah.
My favorite Batman theme's the 1989 one with Michael Keaton.
Actually, no, that is good. That is
my
favorite.
That is, yeah.
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 I have one more bit of trivia and then you can
tell. Yeah, no, please.
So when they're, you know how they obviously have to build all the props and all the scenes and the, like the, some of the cities and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. It took them 10 months to build that and they had to hire two of the biggest air hangers in the world to build it.
That's amazing.
Holy shit.
So they're side by side. Yeah. They're in England somewhere. I don't know where. But yeah, two of the longest air hangers you can think of. And it took them 10 months to build it.
Holy shit.
Fucking hell. That would be a fun job
building. And you like, and you see it, like they showed it on YouTube. Like there's the train lines going around the buildings in the middle.
Wow. Yeah. Also they built, fuck bro, they're crazy, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
See, that's why it looks so good as well.
Yeah.
And not that like movies from 2000 don't look good. It's, you'd still think, oh.
As something as realistic as that is, you want it to look the part.
Exactly.
And that's
right.
Why it's standard the tell of time.
Yeah.
Where others have faded.
Well, shall we get into some of, even more trivia. I got trivia.
Let's get some more trivia. This is Trivia the Podcast today, actually. Yeah. Sponsored by Trivia and hosted by Trivia.
Fuck, we've got sponsors today.
Oh, it's
good. Yeah.
Hot Chocky Milk, Tui's,
Durex. Christian Bale performed many of his own stunts, but he wasn't allowed anywhere near the Batmobile. So,
really?
Yeah. That's disappointing.
That's fucked.
Imagine not being able to drive that.
They had a pro driver. I guess he wasn't a pro.
That's minus half a nug for me.
Yeah.
Not going to lie.
Shit.
Daddy Bale.
Get it out of there.
Down to 11. Writer and director Christopher Nolan decided there would be no second unit, so he oversaw every shot.
That
personally.
Was one of my trivia points.
Yeah, there you go. I stole it.
Yeah, very good.
Good thing I didn't say it. So you know, and like all the blockbusters, they have two camera crews to get like two angles.
Sorry,
but no shout out to mowing.
No shit. This is very close mowing now.
Fuck.
Fuck it, it's the end of the podcast.
Oh, who gives a shit?
You cunts can deal with some money.
Anyway,
it's been going the whole time anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, so he oversaw everything because he wanted it to be perfect. So he had one camera crew.
One camera. That's good. One camera crew.
Mm.
That's good. Imagine being on site and getting to travel to all of those countries with this awesome budget of the time.
Yeah.
And just basically getting to do whatever the fuck you
that
want.
That would have been one of the biggest budgets at the time, surely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, huge. Yeah, because back
how
in 2005...
How much did Sam Raimi Spider-Man get? Just like one of the movies.
What, like box office-wise?
Yeah.
Budget, comparison.
Between budget or box office?
Budget.
Budget.
It probably did better at the box office.
Oh, hang on. Spider-Man, let me do two. Let me just really get it.
Oh, no.
With a production budget of $200 million.
Yeah, so more than that.
Yeah, wow.
That'd probably be the only like example of higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha.
That'd be the only outlier, sorry, that's what I was thinking of.
Because
movies are so freaking expensive now.
But they used a lot of
more CGI and stuff.
Well, true, that costs more, obviously. Yeah. Where this one is hardly any. So.
Yeah. I love that he's just ballsy enough to just use practical effects. And it always, you can
tell the difference.
Stuff that's tangible,
yeah,
it pays off 100%. Tenfold. I think that's also, just touching on Transformers, why you got to give credit to Michael Bay with his explosions and stuff, where he merges CGI and practical stuff together.
The timing.
Like similar sort of stuff, but Nolan's just like, let's just get it all real.
That's why Michael Bay's doing the Skibbity Toilet movie.
Yep.
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did hear about that.
Unfortunately.
Last one of trivia. Christian Bale revealed in interviews that his first scene with Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman, that he fell asleep after getting ready for the scene. Bale described waking up to find Caine poking him in the ribs, saying, "Look at that, he's bloody fallen asleep."
He's bloody fallen asleep, you twat.
He's bloody fallen asleep.
He's fallen asleep, you twat.
So me. I thought that is just amazing.
Oh, that's a classic. Comedy
gold. Imagine waking up to Michael Caine poking you.
It's not even with his hand, it's with his walking stick.
Look at that. Hey, hey. He's bloody falling asleep.
He just wakes up. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, you're supposed to be playing Batman, bro. Get on set.
Come on, Raz.
That's amazing.
Letterboxd time?
Letterboxd time. Yeah, let's see what the people think.
That is true.
All right. Mama says, throat cancer Batman is the best Batman. 4 stars. So.
Big shout out.
Oh, my God.
Rachel.
Behind you. Whatever the guy's like, where are you? And it's like, behind you. Whatever it was.
Where are you? Here. Alfred. Alfred. On the Nokia.
Best gadget.
That is the best gadget.
That's good product placement right there.
Yeah, that is 100%.
Nokia survives the rain.
Yes.
Proves that it is truly unbreakable. Like a Hilux.
Adam Bolt says, instead of turning him into a demon, the fear gas should have given the bat suit nipples. So 3.5 stars. Oh, what about the weird fear Batman where he was like having goo coming out of like the mouth. Hot tar coming out.
That was a bit sexual.
And Will says, imagine thinking that the Dark Knight trilogy isn't the best Batman adaptation. 4.5 stars.
Awesome.
Stoned Homer Simpson as his profile pic, so he seems pretty cool.
You know he's speaking facts there.
He is, yeah.
All right, it's coming down to crunch time. It's a big one today.
This is a blockbuster.
This is a blockbuster.
Records could be broken.
Monumental.
We could see a 12.
You're allowed to do that.
Honestly, guests can give whatever scores they want.
Fuck yeah.
I'm saving a 12 for the next one.
Yeah, same. Shout out, we're not doing that.
All right. I think it's only fair that Ben goes first.
Well, this is an amazing movie, but I believe the next...
I don't like the but.
No. I just believe that, from my opinion, the next two are even better. I can't give it the same score. I'm giving it 8.5.
That's very good.
Yeah. So big things to come is all I'm saying.
Scott?
Yeah. Okay. Look, man, I think I'm with you. Just... half a nug below you, though. I'm going to give this 8 nugs out of 10.
You've never clapped.
But we're clapping. Right.
Please, Mr. Jones.
Well, considering this movie is a staple in the trilogy, it is the first one in the trilogy. Yeah. Sets the trilogy up.
It does.
I'm going to go with Ben, and I'm going to give it an 8.5.
Yeah!
8.5 nugs out of 10.
That's what we're talking about!
Fuck yeah!
Fucking see you next week.
Woo!
This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening to the Butts to Nuts podcast.
If you enjoyed the podcast and want to support us, you can do any number of these three things.
Number one. Tell a friend, a family member, or even a random person off the street to listen to our podcast.
Number two.
Leave a review. The higher the better.
Number three.
Follow and support us on our social media platforms, being Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. All with the usernames Butts to Nuts.
Again, thank you for listening. See you next week.